The Super Bowl of preaching is right around the corner. Oh, man. I got to tell you, when I left my good corporate job about 12 years ago to answer a call to be a pastor, I knew that it would mean standing in front of people and getting to share the good news about Jesus. I knew that I would get an opportunity to walk alongside people at some of the most tender and challenging times of their life. I didn't know it would mean getting hit upside the head with a rubber chicken, but it is that time of year again for the Super Bowl of preaching. The SmackDown is about to go down, and you don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, and it is. It is a weekend where we get to really have a lot of fun and honestly communicate a powerful message as well. It is the best weekend for inviting people in your life who don't like church. So I want you to think about who that is. If you're watching online, if you're in a building, think about the person in your life who wouldn't come. They wouldn't be here right now. That's the person you should invite to Super Bowl. It's going to be incredible, and we're really looking forward to you being there and you inviting your friends and family to be there as well. And we've got a powerful message prepared for you, so I can't wait for you to hear it. Let's pray as we jump in today. God, I thank you for this time that we get to spend really focused on you and what you have for us. And God, I just believe you have something for every person here. They chose to be here. They gave up opportunities to be elsewhere because they're communicating, I believe, by their presence that they want more of what you have for them and more of you. And so, God, I pray that you would give them that today. Use my words, use this time, help it to be helpful, and God, help it to help us grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you haven't been here for the last couple weeks, we're in a series called Win This Year. And we're talking about that. We're talking about what God has to say about you and I winning this year. And I don't know everybody here personally, but I do know this. If you're here, you want to win. You want to win. You're here because you want to win. I think if you're here, you want to win vocationally, whatever it is you do professionally for a living. I think you want to be great at that. I think you want to win in your job. I think you want to win at that. If you're here, I think you want to win, you want to win relationally. The relationships in your life matter to you, and the ones that matter the most, you would like 2020 to be up and to the right, however you're measuring that. You want to win physically. You want to win physically, whether you call that getting stronger or healthier. You want to win physically. You want your life physically to look different. And I know you want to win spiritually, or else you wouldn't be at church. You want to win spiritually. Maybe that for you is less stress, more peace. Maybe it's more of my life looking like Jesus lived. Whatever it is, you want to win. But here's the problem that we all have. A friend of mine called it the Monday problem. We all have the Monday problem. We come here on the weekend, we hear something encouraging, we say, I'm going to live differently, I'm so glad I came, and then this thing called Monday comes, right? And Monday comes, and all of a sudden there are barriers to the promises we made in this room. You know, we had our hands up at the end of the service, and we were ready to walk out on fire, and then Monday comes. And Monday keeps us from it. So what I want to talk about today is actually how do we overcome the Monday problem? In fact, did you know that January 19th has been designated Quitter's Day in America? It's the day when most people are predicted to have fallen off their New Year's resolution. And I'm telling you, God wants you to overcome your Monday problem. So today is really part two of a message that Brian began last week. Brian talked last week about how we need tenacity to win. And I want to build on that by helping you get through the Monday problem with three powerful words. They might sound trite, they might sound cliche, but I think at the end of our time, they're going to mean something to you that they may not mean right now. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. How do you get through the Monday problem? Trust the process. Trust the process. I want you to say that out loud with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Trust the process. I want you to really get this today. So I'm going to go back to the black church and use a tool from the black church. I want you to talk to four people around you, and I want you to tell them, trust the process. Tell four people around you right now, trust the process. You online, trust the process. Wherever you are right now, trust the process. Trust the process. M. Scott Peck wrote a book, it's a timeless book called The Road Less Traveled, and it begins with these three words, life is difficult. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? We know it's hard. All of us want to win, but we know there are barriers between us and winning because life is difficult. Life is hard. Achieving goals are hard. It's like the philosopher Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. We all have a plan. None of us wake up in the morning and say, you know what I want to do today? I want to fail. No, we all want to win, but the challenge is life is hard. And when life is hard, we got to trust the process. We gotta trust the process. Now, I got some friends in this room from Philadelphia, from our hometown. And so as I've been saying this, they've been picturing this guy right here. This guy is Joel Embiid, or as I call him, Joel Embiid. He is an NBA superstar who plays for the Philadelphia 76ers. And he has actually gotten the nickname, The Process. Here's why. Because for years, the strategy of the 76ers to build the organization was basically this. Find and recruit top-notch athletes who then get injured and miss the whole year of their rookie year. That was the strategy. And so in the midst of that happening over and over again, the management kept saying, guys, you got to trust the process. Trust the process. So Joel Embiid was one of those superstars that came into the league and like missed his whole first year because he got injured. But man, when he is on the court, the process is good. The process is good. There is improvement happening. Now, you know, there's some setbacks, though. Joel Embiid recently had a setback. January 6th, he was playing in a game, and he dislocated his finger. We got a picture. Your finger is not supposed to look like that. Hopefully nobody vomited on that one. Take that away. Your finger is not supposed to look like that. But trust the process, right? Trust the process. Well, let me tell you something. Do you know the Sixers actually won that game? And not only did they win that game, but Joel Embiid went on the sideline, got his finger taped up, came back in the game and dropped 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. He almost had a triple-double in that game. Trust the process, right? Trust the process. I've been watching the NFL playoffs, been loving every game. This has been the best playoff season in a long time, in my opinion. And we got any Kansas City Chiefs fans in here? Anybody watching that's a Kansas City Chiefs fan? Yeah. You weren't clapping last week about this time, were you? No, you weren't, because the Kansas City Chiefs were at home, should have won this game, and they were down 21-0 at halftime. It was bad. It looked really bad, but they have an incredible quarterback. He's an incredible team leader, and everybody else looked dejected except him. He was going down the sidelines, encouraging his players, and I don't know what he was saying. He might have been saying, trust the process, guys, trust the process. And literally, in the second half, they went on to win that game 51-21. Unbelievable. Patrick Mahomes, man, what a guy, right? It was an incredible game to watch. In fact, one of the fans of Kansas City really believes in trusting the process. And so he was convinced that him being in the stadium is the reason they were losing. Because there was another playoff game and he was in the stadium. So he told all the people around him, if they're losing by three touchdowns or more at halftime, I'm leaving. And he left. He left. And they went back and won 51-21. So after the game was over, they asked Patrick Mahomes what he thought about that fan. Let's watch this together.
You talk about the fans and how important they were. There was one fan that's now going viral. He left when you guys were down 24-0 because he said it was in the best interest of the team. What would you say to that fan?
Watch the next game at home.
Watch the next game at home. Trust the process. Hey, listen, I know that all of us want to win this year. And I want you to know that in order for you to win this year, you're going to have to trust God's process. Trust is a spiritual thing. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "And without faith, without trust, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Man, that's what the Bible says, that God is a God of process. If I know anything about God, I know that God is a God of process. He is not a God of quick fix. He is not a God of easy. He's a God of process. And we have to trust him, and we have to trust the process. But trust is hard. I mean, listen, you're among friends here. How many people, just raise your hand, have a problem with trusting? How many people in here are willing to be honest and say, yeah, I have a problem with trusting? Trusting is hard. It might be because of something that happened in the past, or it might be some other reason, but we all have barriers to trust. Well, in this series, we've been looking at the nation of Israel specifically as they are about to inherit the promised land. This is a promise God made to his people years and years and years ago, 400 years, particularly for many of the people who had been on this journey, where the nation of Israel went from being enslaved in Egypt to being set free by Moses' leadership, but then wandered 40 years in the desert. And so as we're watching this nation about to inherit the promised land, we're looking at people who for 40 years have known nothing but desert. They've known nothing but wilderness. And God literally has this barrier that's between them and the promise called the Jordan River. And it's time to trust the process and cross the Jordan River. This is what it says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 9. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord," which is this very important piece of furniture that sat in the temple and it represented the presence of God with his people, says, "The Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth, is passing over you, over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So God is basically saying to his people, if you trust me, I will do a miracle for you. If you trust the process, I will do a supernatural thing that you couldn't do in your own strength. Now, just a little bit about the Jordan River. The Jordan River is about 100 feet wide at the point where the Israelites crossed it, which, if you know about rivers, isn't very wide. It's not very wide. And if it was a trickling stream, which sometimes it can be, that doesn't sound like a really big deal, right? You know, maybe your feet get wet. But of course, it would be like God to have his people crossing the Jordan at the most difficult time in the season to do so. So this is harvest time. And at harvest time, the Jordan begins to overflow its banks. I think you have a picture of what it looks like when the Jordan overflows its banks. So imagine stepping into not a river that's calm like the Ohio in the middle of a summer day. No, imagine stepping into 100 feet of rapids, and you got to get all your people, all your livestock, everything across this river. This was a crazy, crazy, difficult challenge. And God was asking these people to trust him to do something that they had only heard about in legendary stories. Does that sound familiar? See, because 40 years ago, God parted the Red Sea when they were leaving Egypt. But because those people didn't trust God for 40 years, they were wandering in circles in the wilderness. So most of the people who literally were looking at this bubbling river, this rapids river, had never seen a river before in their life. This was their first experience of water. This was a challenge for them. And in the midst of this, they faced the Monday problem. They faced the problem of saying, yeah, it was one thing to think that God would be with us when we were wandering in the wilderness, looking at the promised land from a distance, but now it's time to move. It's time to trust. They had to trust the process. And so do we. That's why it says in the New Testament, in the book of James, chapter 1, that we're to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing process of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God uses the process to do something in us and through us that doesn't happen any other way. Trust the process. Now, like you, I struggle sometimes to trust the process. And I can think of a lot of examples in my life where that trust has been tested. But one of those examples was actually captured on film. So we've been looking every week at clips from something called Phantom Lake, and it was a bike trip, an off-road motorcycle trip that I was on. Brian led, our senior pastor, and we went through the Colorado Backcountry Discovery Route. This is off-road riding. It's aggressive riding, way beyond anything that I had ever experienced before. And it was a challenging trip for me every day. But I want to show you perhaps the day where I was most challenged to trust the process. We're going to look at about a 9.5-minute clip. And as we do that, I want you to watch how my ability to trust the process was tested on this day.
I wake up every day and I say to God, "God, whatever you got going on today, I want to be a part of it." We're going to do something really unorthodox and taking inexperienced riders on this trip. You got to be in a situation that's foreign to what you're used to. New riders are going to be challenged. I have this feeling that everyone has an adventure that they're on. I want to see real people in the real world with real life adventures learn how to conquer them. That's why I want to do this trip with people who need it. We're not in a difficult position. We don't grow the way we could grow. I learn when things are difficult. I learn when I get smacked in the mouth. I learn when I fall down. I don't want to fail because I didn't try hard enough. some people would say, well, you're a pastor. Shouldn't you just be doing Bible studies? I'm about making real men and women stronger, and this is a way that I found that does it. When you have momentum, it's easier to win. I wanted to give these guys a little momentum in staying on their motorcycle for longer than 4 minutes at a time. So I gave them about an hour to ride around the trails and get their bearings before we hit our next big pass, Corkscrew.
I have a fear of heights. I have a fear of these kinds of things. And for me, this trip will very much be about, can I overcome that fear? Can I do more than what I think I can? Can I overcome things that I don't know that I can overcome? I want to role model that for my kids. I don't want my kids to have these fears, and I want my kids to have a heart for adventure, to be open to new things. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
We all have fear. I have fear. When I have fear, I have to remind myself that fear is just an illusion. It's nothing that is real. It's just a fleeting thought that went across my mind. It's no more real than the fleeting thought that there's gold at the end of a rainbow.
Chuck, it's all right.
1, 2, 3.
Good job, Chuck.
I wanted Brad on the trip because I wanted at least one great rider. And that's exactly what I got. He was great from start until finish. I was going to have him running sweeper in the back so he could pick bikes up, he could push people.
Where do you want to be?
If someone was going to get to Phantom Lake, they had Brad to thank for it.
About right there. Okay. At 3,500 RPM.
Okay. Okay.
And okay, so you let off here, right?
Okay.
So you want to keep in it.
Okay.
All right.
This is very difficult to do. We're taught that you look where you're going. No, you want to look where you want to go. Chuck is looking straight down. He should not be looking straight down at his wheel. He should be looking up to the horizon. Momentum is your friend. If you're only looking down, you'll never get your momentum, and you'll never succeed.
Get on it. I was nervous about my direction there.
Okay. Got you.
Hey guys, this is called Corkscrew for a reason. These are the tightest turns you'll have all trip.
Push them through those rocks. Yep, keep going, keep going. Go, 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 go. Yeah, that a boy. Yes. Way to go, John. Keep going, John.
You got it. Well, I get a wire hanging. Get the door.
Thank you. I don't have it. I don't have it.
Last time I did this trail with my normal riding crew, it was 10 minutes. Today, it's 4 hours. Brad's doing a really, really great job at being an encourager and trying to patch people up emotionally, and specifically Chuck emotionally, as he tries to sweep him up the top of this hill. Corkscrew Pass, and it is amazing. The view is amazing. The camaraderie is amazing. I felt like grabbing everybody by the helmet saying, see, I told you. The morale is sky high. The energy is sky high. The belief that, yes, we can do this is sky high. No question, this is an emotional highlight for this trip.
I'm just so thankful for these guys. They encouraged me. They put something in me that I didn't have. And I just wanted to get up one freaking mountain, and I got up this mountain.
Hey kids, this is Dad. I'm not even sure if I was gonna work on this, but I wanted to show you the top of the mountain. It's the hardest thing I ever did, and I didn't think I'd be able to do it. It was so hard, and I needed everybody's help. There were times I wanted to quit, turn around. And when I got to the point where I was ready to give up, I've probably fallen off my bike 15 times today, getting up this hill. And when I thought about giving up, I thought about you. I thought about you, Nathan. I thought about you, Sam. And I thought about you, Isabel. And I don't want you guys to ever be people who give up, because you can do amazing things with help, with people's help, and with God's help. So I just want to record this for you, because I want you to know I made it to the top of this mountain, and you motivated me to do it. I love you guys so much. I love you. I believe in you. I believe in everything that God's doing in your life. And I just want you to know, you can climb mountains. Daddy climbed a mountain on his motorcycle.
Now you know why I have this box of tissues up here. Help yourself if you need one. I have watched that a time or two, and I'll never forget that day. And let me just pause and say this. Today's not about my story, and today's not about what I did. As you watch that, what's God saying to you right now? What's the impossible mountain that feels like you can't climb it? I want you to just have a moment and ask God that you would lock in on that as I share with you what I learned on that day. I learned some things that day about trusting the process, specifically three things. The first thing I learned is that the process is what purifies you. The process purifies you for where it is that God is taking you. In the story of the nation of Israel, as they look at this barrier, the Jordan River, look at what Joshua says to the people in Joshua 3:5. He says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That word consecrate means to set yourself apart.
It means to cut away from the normal, to cut away from what everything and everyone else might be doing so that you can have a unique opportunity to experience and encounter God doing powerful things through you. And I had to be purified that day. There was something that needed to be set apart in me that day to be able to do that. Brian said this the first week of the series, and I want to repeat this question. You know, if you want to win this year in any area, I got to ask you the question, how badly do you want it? We gotta have a pure motive for pursuing the things that God wants us to pursue. And if we're going to pursue those, he's going to ask you to set yourself apart. There are students in here, and maybe school is challenging for you, but you got a goal. There's a reason why you're there. You might need to set yourself apart from the party scene. You might need to set yourself apart from sets of friends that you've already made so that you can experience God doing wonderful things through you. And you pursuing and completing your school goals. Maybe there's a habit in your life that you want to build. Maybe there's a habit in your life you want to break. You're going to have to set yourself apart from the normal things you've always been doing. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. And so you got to set yourself apart in that way. If you want to grow spiritually, I'm telling you, there's no secret. There's no magic pill. You got to set apart time to be in God's presence. You will be changed in his presence. Set apart time to be in community with people who are going the direction you want to go. As you do that, you'll experience it. Maybe it's your finances this year. Maybe there are some new places you want to go financially. If that's the case, you're going to have to set yourself apart from the spending habits that have gotten you to where you are. Dave Ramsey says it. It might sound cliche, but it makes so much sense. He says, live like no one else, so later you can live like no one else. You got to have your motives purified. I'll be honest, you saw it there. That was hard for me. And doing it for bragging rights, doing it for personal pride, was not going to get me up that hill. I literally had a moment when I was on the side and I thought about my kids and I said, you know what? If this was just my story, I would quit. I'm done. But I thought about my kids and I said, what do I want my kids to think about this day in my life? And that's what got me up the hill. My kids became my why. I posted this on my Instagram this morning, and the heading that I had with this picture with good friends of mine, Chris and his daughter, Ashlyn, was that I'm training to run my fastest half marathon in May for the Flying Pig. That's what I'm doing, and they're helping me to train for that. But my why is not because I want to have a PR in my race. You know what my why is? I want to be the first male in my family that I know of that doesn't die of type 2 diabetes or its complications. That's why I'm doing this. That's my why. And it purifies your motive when you get to a deeper why. And the process is what does that. The process purifies it. What's your why? Maybe God has you in this process because he wants to purify your why. Second thing is the process prepares you. The process is what prepares you for where it is that God is taking you. Again, in the story of the nation of Israel, Joshua says this to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go since you have never been this way before. Part of what happens in the process is God prepares you for where you have never been before. I know we got some motorcycle riders in here, and as you were watching that clip, you know exactly what my problem is. You know exactly why I struggled to get up that hill. It's called clutch control. It's called clutch control. It's a basic motorcycle skill that is easy to do on asphalt, and can I just tell you, because I've been there, it's a little bit harder to do on the side of a mountain. It's a little bit harder to do, right? That was the thing, though. It's learning how to do that, and so I had to trust the process. Part of the process that Brian set up, you heard it in the video, and I was following Brian on this one, was Brad as the sweeper. Brad is an incredible rider. Oh, my goodness. He is amazing. He was popping wheelies up the thing that you saw me struggling on. I mean, he's an incredible guy, right? And his patience with me was the turning point in the trip for me. I'll never forget it. It's quick in the video. But there was a moment, I call it my anger fit, right after I had my anger fit where I threw the rock. And I'm like on the side. I was going to quit. That was the end. I was going to quit. And Brad came up to me and I said, man, I just can't freaking get this. I can't get it. I can't get the clutch thing. He was like, great, good news. There's only one thing you need to focus on. So don't worry about all this other stuff. Focus on clutch control. And you can see after that, that's what his coaching was for me. I'm telling you, maybe in the process you're in, it feels like I can't get up the mountain. And what God is saying is, yeah, there's that one thing, right? Good news. I just want to build that one thing in you.
I just want to prepare you, equip you, strengthen you, steel you in that one area of your life. I'm so thankful for Brad and his coaching because that's what prepared me. And quite frankly, what I learned on Corkscrew enabled me to ride the rest of the time that I did. I had to learn clutch control. What's your clutch control? What is the thing that you know is the one thing that's getting in the way, but it's the one thing God wants to form in you, shape in you, strengthen you around? I was reading this week a quote that really stuck with me about preparations from a woman named Mandy Hale. She wrote a book called The Single Woman, Life, Love, and a Dash of Sass. I like that title. And she says this, if you're still waiting for it, it means you're not ready for it, whatever it is. So stop looking at waiting as punishment and start looking at it as preparation. That's a good word. That'll preach. That'll preach. And it's, I mean, she's writing it to single people. And I just felt this week as I read that, I don't want to miss the immediate application she wrote it for. So I know we have a bunch of single people at Crossroads. And I just want to talk to you for a minute. And I know when a married man starts saying, I'm talking to single people, I'm the last person you want to hear from. I get it. Can you just hear me on this, though? My name is Chuck, and I'm your friend. I really do love you. I really do love you. And here's what I think I'm taking from her that might be an encouragement to you. I know that maybe you're not where you want to be relationally if you want to be married. And let me just say this to you. It may or may not be that God is saying yes to you in marriage, but he's absolutely saying yes to preparation. He's saying yes to meaning and purpose and your life mattering in the here and now. And so maybe God isn't punishing you, but he's preparing you. Maybe he's preparing you for a spouse. Maybe he's preparing you for impact as a single person. But I just want you to know this. It doesn't mean you have to stand still. Do not put your life on pause. God has purpose for you in your singleness right where you are. And here's what I also know about God. Momentum is your friend. God will catch a moving target and he will direct it where he wants it to go. And so I just want to encourage you, but that's not just for single people. That's for people who are struggling with any part of the process. But just know this, the process is what prepares you. The process is what purifies your motives. It helps you clarify your why. It also is what prepares you. What's your clutch control? What's the thing, the one thing that God wants you to grow in? But here's the thing that's encouraging. The process is exactly what propels you. The process is what propels you into the promised land. Momentum is your friend. I learned that on that mountain. I've learned that from rides I've done since that mountain. Momentum is your friend. Great. God wants to give you momentum. He wants that. I've been asking the question as I read through the crossing of the Jordan again, a scripture that I've read many times. God, why did you have these people cross the Jordan River? Why did that have to be a part of their process? I mean, think about it. These are people who came from a generation of folks who were 400 years enslaved. That's pretty hard. I would think they were pretty tested. I would think they had gone through some difficulty, probably sufficient difficulty for a lifetime. But then the people who are at the river are people who for 40 years wandered in their wilderness, only knew dust, only knew dryness, only got water out of rocks. It was this crazy experience they had. They had literally never seen a river before. Why would God force them to have to go through a river to get to their promise? And I want to tell you, there's at least three reasons. God used this experience to propel them in at least three ways. First, God used it to propel Joshua as their leader. Look at what it says in Joshua 3:7. God says to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." Talk about big shoes to fill. Joshua was coming on the heels of Moses the deliverer, Moses who stuck a rod in the Red Sea and it split. Talk about big shoes to fill. And what God was saying is, in this moment, I'm going to perform a miracle through you so the people know I'm with you just like I was with Moses. I think some of you, the reason that you're going through the difficult thing you're going through, the reason that the process isn't easy is because God wants to use this to elevate the character he has put in you so the people around you know for sure you are the man, you are the woman for this role. You are the leader that God has in mind for this thing. God will use this difficulty to elevate you, to propel you as a leader. And that's one of the reasons
why they had to go through the river. But another thing is God used it to propel the faith of Israel. Listen to Joshua 3:10. It says, this is how you will know that the living God is among you. It's one thing to believe God is with you because God sustains you in the wilderness. It's a whole other thing to know that God is with you because as soon as the priest's foot touched the river, you saw water that was rapid and flowing move to the right and move to the left, and now you have dry land to walk through. You have a different understanding of God when God shows up miraculously in your life that way. And that's what he wanted for them. And don't miss this. Don't miss this. There are 12 tribes in the nation of Israel. Did you know only 10 of them saw the Jordan miracle? There are two tribes who said, enough is enough. And they took the first piece of land they got to. They said, we have had enough. We just want to settle. And I'm telling you, when you settle, when you quit, you will miss the miracle that God wants to use to prove to you he can do anything. Don't settle. Don't miss the miracle because you're ready to quit. God will use it to propel your faith. But here's the other, I love this. I love this, man. I don't know if I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself right now. And I'm happy to do that. Here's the other thing. It propelled the enemies of Israel to flight. This miracle propelled the enemies to flight. Look at what it says in Joshua 5:1. Now when all the Amorite kings, remember all those ites earlier? Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. God used this miracle to put enemies to flight. I love what it says in Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. Friends, you got to understand, there are spiritual enemies out there. You have people who do not want to see you fulfill the thing that you want to win in. And I'm telling you, God will show himself faithful through the difficult process, and he will put your spiritual enemies to flight. They will know this is God's man. This is God's woman. We better get our act together. We better recognize that God's hand is on this person. So trust the process. Trust the process. Some of you right now are in a waiting process, and it is hard to wait. But I want to encourage you to trust the process. Some of you are in a pruning process. Right now, there are things that God is tearing out of you, and it is painful, but I'm telling you, he will use that pain to purify you, to make you a different person if you will trust the process. Some of you are in a building process. God's giving you a vision. He's giving you a dream. Maybe you're leading an organization and you're building it right now. And it's hard to build something. You don't have momentum when you're in the building process. But if you just stay faithful and trust that God is giving you that vision, he will work through your building process. Some of you are in a resting process. You're ready to go. You're ready to run. You know what God is saying to you? Slow down. Sit down. Lay down. And it's hard, but if you will trust him in that resting process, he will work through that resting process. Because here's the thing I know about God. He finishes everything he starts. Amen. He finishes everything he starts. Joshua 3:17 says, now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. God finished what he started with the nation of Israel, and he will finish what he started in you. Just trust the process. So I want to give you the same words that James gave to his followers, people who were following him as he followed Jesus. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, that process, produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I actually want to ask you a favor. I don't know that I've ever made this personal of an ask before to do something or watch something, but this whole Phantom Lake process, it's been 2 years. We've been working on this. The trip was 2 years ago. It was a hard trip. Editing, producing, all the things that came. We're hoping it impacts people. We're hoping it impacts people. And let me just give you a spoiler alert. That actually wasn't the worst day on the trip for me, if you can believe that. It gets even harder. But we did this. We all did this. We invested in this. Not because there's a big chance we're probably not going to make money on this. That's not why we did it. We did it because we want to connect people. We want to change lives. And we think this can help people go in the direction of a God who they can trust.
So I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't think I've ever asked you to do this before, but I'm going to ask you on January the 26th, when it airs on Amazon Prime, I'm going to ask you to watch it. Watch a full episode. Because if you do that, and if you share it with other people who also do that, the way the mechanics work at Amazon is it will increase the likelihood that it'll be recommended for other people to watch. And we believe there's a message in this journey for people all around the country. We want to see people connect to God through this. So I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to put it on your calendar and share it. And let's all remember that God is trustworthy. So wherever you are in your journey, maybe it's a steep and rocky climb and you can relate to that. Maybe you're on a flat land right now. Wherever you are, I want you to know you can trust God and you can trust the process. We sang a song earlier. We're going to sing a little bit of it as we close. I love what it says. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone and I will not be shaken. We're going to stand wherever you are. You can turn up the volume if you're watching online. Let's sing a little bit of this song as we close. And God, I just pray that you would help all of us to trust you because you are the God of the process. Amen.
I will put my trust in you.
Just let that be a refrain for you this week, for whatever you're walking through, whatever you're running through, and you can trust God and you can trust the process. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for being here.